Okay, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, and welcome to the June 8th, 2010 Wikibon Peer Insight meeting, where peers discuss challenging problems in the data center. I'll be your host today and moderator, Dave Vellante, and I'm joined by my co-host, David Foyer. David, are you there?
Good morning, everybody.
So the topic for today, as I've said a couple of times, is data deduplication for primary storage, and Wikibon is pleased to welcome Jared Floyd, the CTO and co-founder of Permabit, to the program today. Hello, Jared.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for coming on. Just some quick housekeeping items. If you're not speaking on the call, we'd like you to mute your line, and if your phone doesn't have a mute button, you can hit *6 to mute and then *6 to unmute if you wish to participate. And we encourage everybody to do so. And again, *6 to mute, *6 to unmute. It's an open forum, as you know. This call is being recorded and will last 1 hour. If you want to tweet this, please use the #Wikibon hashtag so it will feed to the social media outlets. And so let me just set up the call here. Data deduplication and compression technologies, as you know, are evolving, and they're becoming more of an embedded component of storage infrastructure. By providing an end-to-end technology stack approach and incorporating directly storage optimization intellectual property into array functionality, we believe optimization technologies are going to become a basic feature of primary storage infrastructure as well as backup and archiving use cases. Translation, dedupe and optimization technologies are going to be everywhere. Now, yesterday, Permabit announced Alberio, a software-based dedupe offering that is designed to be very flexible and extremely fast. As many of you know, NetApp, with its ACES technology, has increased the competitiveness of its arrays by bundling dedupe in with primary storage, and the company has set a trend for storage optimization, particularly from a business model standpoint, i.e. being able to embed that functionality within the array and bundling the product for no extra fee. But as we all know as well, there's no free lunch, so generally, despite its appeal, ACES is seen as a very overhead intensive. So when we got a preview at Wikibon of Alberio, we said, wow, this would be cool if we could have Jared on and ask if he would join us in the Peer Insight. So once again, Jared, thank you very much for coming off the call. Okay, so let me kick it off and then turn it over to David Floyer and the audience, who I know will have a ton of questions and comments. So Jared, welcome again. And first, I wonder if you could just – one other thing. On Wikibon, on the website, if you're near a web browser, if you go to the home page, wikibon.org, you will see right in the middle of the page, you'll see the orange Register Now button. Beneath that, you'll see Professional Alerts. And then the very first one is called Data Deduplication for Primary Storage. And in there, I've put up a couple of slides that we saw, I guess, last week or 2 weeks ago from Permabit, which essentially is how it works, how Alberio works, and where it sits, and some of the deployment options. So Jared, at the appropriate time, I'm going to ask you to talk about that. But I wonder if you could start off by telling us, what is Alberio?
Great, thank you, and thanks for having me today. Simply put, Alberio is the first OEM-specific, purpose-built deduplication solution for primary storage. So what we deliver is a software library that implements the core functionality of deduplication, along with an extensive SDK that allows existing primary storage vendors, so array vendors that are delivering network-attached storage or SAN devices, to integrate very high-performing, very efficient deduplication into their existing and next-generation storage systems.
Hey, Jared, I'm sorry to interrupt. It's a little hard to hear you. If you wouldn't mind getting a little closer to the speaker or using your handset, whatever is most convenient.
Absolutely. 1 second. I'll blame AT&T.
Oh, much better.
That's great. So Alberio is essentially the first OEM-specific purpose-built solution for deduplication for primary storage. What we deliver is a software library that allows existing primary storage vendors, so people are creating NAS devices or SAN devices today, to incorporate high-performing, extremely scalable deduplication into their existing and next-generation storage systems. And this came about because Permabit has been developing deduplication technology for more than 10 years now. And we've talked with other storage vendors throughout that period, especially the past several years, as deduplication has become a very hot topic, that deduplication as you know, is essentially a requirement in secondary storage at this point. And by the end of next year, we believe it will be a requirement in primary storage as well, or will be becoming a requirement in primary storage as well. And we would talk with larger storage vendors about our Enterprise Archive product, which is a value tier primary storage NAS device that incorporates a scalable high-performing deduplication. And that product is a complete stack, so it has our own file system implementation, it has our own file system interfaces, our own data protection, all of which we think are really cool. But when we would talk to other storage vendors, they would say, well, I've invested $500 million in my existing RAID technology. I've invested $500 million in my existing file system technology. So can't you just give us the deduplication? And we thought about that for a while. We worked at that for a while. And the only obvious approaches seem to be what I'll call a bump in the wire approach, where you have a software stack or an appliance that sits between the customer and that back end of storage. And that ends up being not terribly attractive as a solution because it introduces an additional component which has a significant expense to it. And also because it sits in between, because it's this intermediary device, it masks functionality, it masks performance of the back-end storage. So while we came up with product ideas that used our technologies to deliver deduplication on existing storage, they had that appliance approach or that intermediary approach where they ended up treating the back-end storage almost like a JBOD. And, of course, that doesn't serve anyone's interests. So we never really pursued that in great detail. Then about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I was thinking about this, and I had an idea about can't we just deliver this as a software library instead and integrate efficiently into their existing stack. That requires integration work on the storage vendor's part. It's not something that they can meet in the market where we sell a box, they sell a box, and everyone gets along. But it means that we have a much more ideally suited solution. And so that's what Alberio is. It's that software library that solves the hardest problems of deduplication that a vendor will have to address, even if they were going to go and try to implement it themselves.
Okay, so the design goal was to enable the array OEMs to embed the technology within their platforms and not disrupt performance. Is that correct? Am I understanding that?
Exactly, not disrupt performance, not disrupt functionality. Like if you have an intermediary device, the back-end storage supports snapshots, but that intermediary device doesn't support the same snapshot interface, then the end user doesn't get snapshots. If, same thing for, say, records retention. That we didn't want to interfere with any of the features of the existing storage device, but we want to enable deduplication or allow the vendors to enable deduplication without having to add a huge amount of expensive hardware as well.
So I want to just jump into really how it works. And again, for those who just joined the call, if you go to the wikibon.org homepage, right under professional alerts, in the middle of the page, you'll see data deduplication for primary storage. And Jared, I don't know if you're near a web browser, but I've put up the slide that you showed us a couple weeks ago. It's got the funnel and essentially how it works, and there's really 5 points on it. So if we just refer to that, I wonder if you could just take us through that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just pull it up. So the first slide here is our how it works slide. And I'll just walk you through the diagram and through the steps. So the green box in the center represents the storage vendor's existing software stack. Up at the top are their existing interfaces. So if it's a block vendor, their iSCSI fiber channel interfaces. If it's a NAS vendor, then their NFS or SIPS interfaces. The data flows from those interfaces down through their existing file system stack, through their existing data placement, existing data protection or RAID, to their existing storage. What I'm describing here is what we call our parallel implementation, which combines the best of both worlds of inline and post-process, and I'll explain how they differ on the next slide as well. So there we are. That's the existing stack where we're not interfering with the write path or the read path at all. Then when a vendor undertakes an integration, what they do is as the data flows into the system, bullet point one, they take an additional copy of that data and they pass it to our API along with internal placement information. So in a block system, that might be a virtual LUN and virtual block address. in a file system that might be an inode and offset. Basically, whatever information they need to find that data again later. They pass us that. It's treated as opaque metadata, so we don't have to process it at all. We just have to be able to store it and return it later. Once we have that data, we have our segmentation engine. Now, in a block implementation, a vendor might just be using, say, 4K fixed blocks or 8K fixed blocks or 64K fixed blocks, and that's all they want to work with. But in a file system, there's the opportunity for additional savings through identifying optimal boundaries within that data. So we have a content segmentation engine, which has a pluggable API that both we and our customers can expand, that allows us to identify optimal boundaries within a compound file, like a zip file. We can identify the boundaries between files within that. Or a Microsoft Office file, we can identify boundaries between embedded assets. So images that are embedded in a PowerPoint will deduplicate against images embedded in a different PowerPoint, even if those components aren't block aligned. Once we've taken that new data and segmented it into these variable size chunks, we use the SHA-256 cryptographic hash to come up with a unique content fingerprint for that data. So basically, we come up with a unique identifier. This is a hash-based deduplication system at heart. And that's what we use to identify if the data previously exists in the storage system. Then we come to what's really the core of Albireo and what we see as the single hardest problem in primary deduplication and really deduplication in general. And that is, once you have the content identifier, very rapidly answering the question, do I have this chunk of information? Have I seen this chunk of information before across an extremely large storage pool very quickly? If you think about how you would go about building something like that, initially you would use just a simple data structure like a hash table, and that works great if you only have a couple gigabytes, a couple hundred gigabytes of data. But when we're talking terabytes, tens, hundreds, even petabytes of data, those data structures don't work anymore. That you don't have enough memory to maintain that data structure, and that if you start paging it to disk, you have unacceptable delays in identifying data. And if you look at the other primary dedupe implementations that are out there, this is really where the core challenge is. If you look at the recent ZFS implementation, they've done basically the work necessary to integrate a technology like Albireo, but these index tables they put into their normal file system metadata, which are stored as AVL trees within the file system. And that means every time they get a new block of data, they have to do multiple disk seeks to determine if that data already exists in the system. So that's the problem that the Albireo indexing technologies solve. We've spent many years developing these in our enterprise archive technologies, and we extracted that and enhanced them for Albireo. So we're able to index hundreds of terabytes or more of data and maintain an average index lookup of about 10 microseconds in the current software release. The reason we're able to do that is that these index structures that we've developed and patented allow us to more than 99.9% of the time answer the question, have I seen this chunk of information before in memory without having to go to disk? And we're able to do that without having to maintain the entire index structure on disk. So that's the competitive advantage Albireo delivers.
And that 10 microseconds is for, and I see you have variable chunk sizes. So what's the assumption on the chunk size for that 10 microseconds?
So that's just the index lookup. So that's independent of chunk sizes. If you're talking about kind of the end-to-end function call latency, when they pass us the data, we do the segmentation, we do the hashing, and then the index lookup, that whole thing is around 40 microseconds.
40 microseconds. Okay. Great.
And, of course, we're able to support that in parallel. We're able to support that also across multiple processors, multiple machines. I'll talk about performance in a second.
Great.
So once we've done that index lookup, then we have a result. And if we haven't seen that information before, then we add that new block, we add that new chunk to our index, and that's kind of the end of our data flow. If we have seen that chunk before, then what we do is we provide an asynchronous callback to the vendor's storage stack. We give them essentially a duplicate advisory or a deduplication notification. We say, hey, the data that you just stored in block X is the data that you previously stored in block Y. where the data that you just stored in file A, offset B, is the same data that you previously stored in file C, offset D. It's then the responsibility of that storage stack to do the block or extent unification, so to actually free the space on disk, because that's the thing that's completely different file system or block system, and that's the work that needs to be done. But in our experience, that's a very lightweight project. We had a 2-week to 2-month technology activity at the most with our storage customers. One of our customers they've been working with the API document that we provided. From when we delivered software, they had it up and running in their storage stack in 2 days. And that really leverages their core technologies, their core expertise. So they're best qualified to implement that part of the integration. And that leverages often existing technologies for thin provisioning or copy-on-write snapshotting that already exist. The other interesting thing, of course, is any primary storage vendor that is pursuing implementing deduplication and internally, and nearly all of them are, have to solve this problem. But then they also have to solve the indexing problem. So when we're talking with a storage company, the question initially really isn't, do they want to work with us? The question is, do they want to implement primary deduplication? Because if they do, then we can allow them to bring that technology to market and bring that technology to market with a much more scalable, much more performant implementation years ahead of what they would otherwise be able to do.
Okay, I want to stop you there. This was thank you for that description. A lot of information, and I wanted to just open it up to see if the audience had any clarifying questions or comments on the how it works. Is it clear to everybody or audience or David Floyer? Do you have any follow-up for Jared?
I do, but let's just, should we wait a second or two and see if there are any other?
Specifically on how it works. If anybody wants to stay on that topic, that's great.
I've got a question.
Sure, go ahead. And if you wouldn't mind just letting us know who you are, and if you don't want to give us your full name, just your first name would be great.
Thank you. My name's Chris. So the question here, I guess, is this would be the example that you're giving here, which is parallel. This is the one that you'd actually see no performance impact, but I would assume that in an inline, you would see impact, correct?
So in a parallel or even in a post-process, there's implementation. There's no performance no performance impact. In a post-process implementation, this is really getting to the next slide, there's sometimes, if they don't schedule things properly, integrator doesn't schedule things properly, they're not going to write again. But in the inline case, if we're implementing an inline case, then there would be some additional small latency on each request, which can be masked with parallelism. But that's why we're discussing the parallel case here. So just on the next slide, in an inline implementation, basically every new chunk of information, the storage device would query us to determine if it already existed and if it didn't write it to disk. In a post-process case, we'd be query out of both the write and read paths. And then they would have a background process that would read the data back off disk, the new data back off disk, query us for duplicates, and then free up blocks in metadata as appropriate. And that's a very simple integration, of course, but it can introduce some disk contention if the system is very highly utilized. So that's why this parallel implementation, we believe, combines the best of both worlds, that we don't interrupt, we don't introduce any latency in data write to disk, and we don't need to read the data back off disk because the deduplication scanning happens on the cached copies already in memory. But one thing that's important to note in all three of these cases is that we're always completely out of the read path, because once the blocks or extents are merged, that's recorded in the existing file system or block system's metadata. They never have to do any lookups to us. They never have to query us to retrieve or to reassemble data. That they're doing the same thing that they do when they're returning data normally, that in a file system, an inode already points to blocks that may be in different locations on disk. And that's the same case even if they've deduplicated that data. So that's really nice because it decouples us from the system. It means that we don't introduce any sort of data lock-in, which is a challenge with an appliance, and we don't we don't introduce any other reliability or data availability concerns.
Okay, great. Any other questions on how it works?
Yeah. This is Oscar Abundes, and I have a question about exactly where the software, this software stack runs. Does it run in the same system that the disk arrays use?
That's a great question. So the nice thing about delivering a software library is that we have a huge amount of flexibility in how a storage vendor integrates us. That they have the inline post-processing parallel options, of course. They have the options to use different block sizes. All of this is based on what's optimal for their existing storage stack, because they do have to integrate our technology with whatever their existing capabilities are. So depending on how they've implemented their solution, this might run in the same process space as their storage stack. So this could be a library that's linked directly into a user space implementation of theirs, or linked into a kernel space implementation. This can run as a separate process on the same device, on the same storage device, which may be either on the same processor as the storage stack or on an application processor that's included. Or this could even, the indexing technologies could even run on a separate server-type device entirely, and they would just integrate with the stub layer of our API that calls out to that remote index. One thing that I don't describe in these slides, but in addition to providing a lot of scalability in a single device, we also provide the ability to scale across a grid or a cluster of servers to improve both performance and to expand the index scalability. So on the first slide, there's a little bubble in the box to the right labeled routing services. And those are the same grid routing services that we originally developed for our Enterprise Archive grid storage product that allow us to, in a clustered environment or in a grid storage environment, which are becoming more and more common, to split the index across multiple nodes in that cluster and provide larger scalability and better performance. Just to give you a sense of performance, on our benchmarks on a 3 gigahertz Xeon processor, we see data processing at in excess of 140 megabytes per second per processor core. So that can scale across multiple cores in a single machine, and we can also scale performance across multiple processors in a cluster. So with Alberio, we can meet the performance requirements of basically any primary storage out there. That on a single processor, we can deliver extremely high performance, and scaled out across a clustered environment, we can deliver thousands of megabytes per second of deduplication.
Hi, this is Peter Liu. Could you please explain a little bit more on the content-aware segmentation you implement?
Sure. So with a lot of file types, you can get very good deduplication just by breaking them up into fixed chunks, like, say, 4 kilobyte chunks. However, with some file types, files that are compound or composite objects that consist of multiple smaller files inside them, you can get better deduplication. We can get better deduplication by identifying optimal boundaries. So if you consider something like just a zip archive or a tar archive for the Unix crowd, that is basically a large file that has some header information and then some file data, and header information, file data, and so forth. And so even if I have the same file that's in an archive and then elsewhere on disk, if I just used a fixed segmentation strategy, say every 4K, then when I got to the point that file was in the archive file, it probably wouldn't be aligned with one of those 4K boundaries, and so it wouldn't deduplicate against the other instance of that file. So instead, what we do for about a half a dozen file types in the current release, and we're constantly extending that, is identify boundaries that are ideal boundaries for breaking apart specific file types. So if we see something that's a zip file, we know how to find the boundaries within that file that are the beginning of another embedded file, and we can break up on those chunk boundaries.
Yeah, but how you pass those information to the storage vendor, because for them, they're just a block of data, right?
Right. So in a block vendor's storage device, in a SAN storage device,
right,
they probably wouldn't use this feature. in a FOB because they don't have that sort of addressing that would allow them to do that because they only see the individual blocks. This is really applicable to the file vendor case, the file storage case.
Oh, I see.
But we can also deliver, because we're keeping track of whatever metadata the storage vendor gives us for object placement, one thing that's becoming more and more popular are unified storage systems where block and file data are stored within the same storage device. And because we can give back whatever metadata is appropriate for that storage device, we can allow vendors to do, say, block deduplication between block and file storage on the same storage device.
How about object?
Supports it. Absolutely. With the location information, as I gave you the examples for block, would be like a block address, a LUN address, file would be an inode. But for object storage, the same thing. There is an identifier that the storage system uses, an object identifier or an object and chunk identifier. And as long as they pass us that information, we can give them advice back about where duplicates lie within their storage system. We're talking primarily about storage here, but really this is a library that can be integrated at an application level as well for an application that wants to implement deduplication of any sort of data that it manages. The reason that we're initially launching partners in the storage space is just because of the enormous demand for deduplication in primary storage that NetApp has shown that it is possible to do, and that significant benefits can be reaped by delivering deduplication to customers in primary storage. But at the same time, they've delivered a very limited implementation, that it has significant performance constraints that cause it to run as a scheduled process, that it has very significant scalability constraints with the amount of deduplication that it's able to deliver. But it's wildly popular, not just because they've done a very interesting thing by giving it away for free, but because it does deliver deduplication. And it also has really helped identify one of the critical markets for deduplication beyond just standard primary storage data is virtual system infrastructure. The biggest challenge to delivering, to deploying virtual system infrastructure today is the cost and the amount of storage that has to be deployed alongside it because of the duplicates of OS images, application images, and so forth. And so NetApp has done a very good job there, and that is certainly one of the prime use cases for our primary storage customers. And we can allow them to deliver deduplication in virtual system infrastructures far beyond what others can provide today, that in test with, in our internal tests and in our external lab testing, we saw, around 36-to-1 savings with a VMware infrastructure, but in qualification with one of our customers, their data set, they actually saw in excess of 99% savings, so 101 savings on their data set. And with the deployment of things like virtual desktop infrastructures where you may have in a business thousands of very similar VMs that start out as clones but then diverge in very similar ways, the opportunities for savings are truly, truly enormous.
So I wonder if we can let me make sure that you guys are comfortable with the how it works. I don't want to stop that conversation. We've got plenty of time here, but I do want to talk about the sort of alternatives that are out there. You mentioned NetApp with ACES, and there are others that I wanted to just have an open discussion about that with the community. But before I do, are there any other questions for Jared on how it works? Any technical questions there?
Yes, I still would like to go back to this content awareness. I can see that with those information that on the file level you can deliver, delete certain redundant files. But because those files are actually spread out on the physical block on your storage, that you don't really see much storage saving, even after you delete it from the file perspective. Am I right or am I crazy?
Well, I can give you some numbers there, and one thing I'll say is that it's easier or harder for a given customer of ours to implement variable dedupe depending on their infrastructure. So if they have an extent-based file system instead of a block-based file system, then they have to make fewer changes during integration. But either have been able to integrate the variable dedupe. Just on a data set we had of general, you know, file server documents. So it was largely Office documents, Microsoft Office documents. We saw without the variable segmentation, so with a 4K block with just a fixed 4K segmentation, we were seeing about 2.8, nearly 3-to-1 savings with that data set. When we enabled variable deduplication, that went up to nearly 4-to-1 savings. So it's still a significant amount of additional savings from the variable chunking, but certainly I wouldn't say, you know, don't buy a system that only does fixed chunking, because if that's the system that meets your needs for other reasons, that will deliver significant savings as well.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the sort of competitive landscape there. As many of you know, we produced this thing called CORE, Capacity Optimization Ratio Effectiveness, and we've got a lot of heat for it, but it's always the way when you try to come up with a metric to compare something like optimization technologies across different vendors' products. They range from, hey, this is great to for the guys who did well, to this is seriously flawed to the guys who didn't. But our intention was really to try to get a discussion going and try to understand the factors that matter. And we looked at a number of different solutions, Netezza, ZFS, ASUS, certainly Solera, StoreWise, Ocarina, now Alberio comes in there. We looked at Oracle Columnar. Actually, we didn't have much data on it. And we even threw in WinZip, which we got a lot of heat for as well. So a lot of the compression technologies and just a couple of dedupe. Now Alberio joins ASUS, and I think I read there's one other called Nimbus, which we didn't evaluate. But so I want to talk a little bit about and get people's thoughts on ASUS, right? ASUS set the business model standard. Hey, we've got Waffle. We're able to deliver this capability, and we're going to give it away for free. And what you saw is, you know, mixed reactions, right? As Jared was pointing out, there's some perceived performance issues, not perceived, they're real issues, and the use cases are somewhat limited, but at the same time, you're getting this capability, and even if you're saving whatever, 20, 30%, you're getting that quote-unquote for free. You know, as we all know, there is no free lunch, as I said earlier. So maybe, David, you could kick that off. What are you seeing here in that space, and where do you see Alberio fitting?
Well, I think that the most interesting aspect of this is the elapsed time for the decision of whether you've got a duplicate or not, and that seems to be absolutely crucial. Whether it's compression or whether it's deduplication, that's critical, and that was a critical part of our core technology, was identifying that elapsed time. For example, I think you said that it was around 40 microseconds. Was that true? Was that correct for the overhead? Is that the one of the questions I had for you? Is that the overhead for inline as well? Around 40 microseconds? Is that the total increase in access time that you would expect, or is it a little bit more than that?
Right, that's the latency in the call to our system. So in an inline system, that's the additional latency you would see on each request. And that's with our, again, that's a number with our software library using only a Xeon 3 gigahertz processor, that about a quarter of that is the index lookup. The rest of that is mostly the hashing overhead. And so even that delivers 140 megabytes per second per processor core. Which is very significant. But if a vendor has hardware acceleration for hashing embedded in their system, then that's certainly something they would be able to take advantage of to get that time down even further.
Right. So that level of overhead would seem to be Well, let me ask you the question. Where is that going to be totally adequate, and where would you see that would still be a constraint on I/O performance? For example, I would think in flash that would start to be a constraint then.
Well, keep in mind that that's only a latency on the write performance, that we don't introduce any latency into read. And latency on write would be masked with caching and parallelism. So the number that's really important to consider here is the throughput number, that 140 megs per second per processor core. And then if you're exceeding, ingest over an extended period of time beyond what the processors in your machine can devote to it, because obviously we don't have control over the hardware that our partnership, then you would look at falling back to one of the other modes, like parallel or post-process. One thing that I'll point out is the interface is exactly the same to the partner, no matter which model they're using, so they can make that something they could switch between models dynamically if it was appropriate in their architecture.
So there would be some expectation they would have to beef up their processor capability in order to take full advantage of this?
It depends on the performance that their storage achieves today and which model that they would want to integrate in. So that's one of the points of flexibility, again, that there are going to be many vendors by the end of the year who have begun to deploy Alderio-based products, and they will not all look the same. They will have different capabilities based on how they've chosen to make use of our technology. All of them will be better than the deduplication that is available for primary storage today, but they will have points of differentiation between each other. And we see that as really one of the other benefits that we gain by delivering a software library, is that we allow our partners to make decisions and trade-offs about what product they want to deliver.
Yeah, so a big part of that answer to that question is it depends on the use case and how much performance horsepower you need to throw at it, and that's going to be very use case dependent. And that's the thing that strikes me about Alderio, is you can use it in a variety of different scenarios. And that's unique. But I sort of want to come back to this. ASUS has sort of set the standard for the embedded dedupe capability, or storage optimization capability, maybe we should call it generically, in arrays. And there was always this sort of conventional wisdom that you can't get dedupe to perform. Alderio sort of is challenging that wisdom. Do people see this type of technology becoming more ubiquitous across arrays? Is it going to just sort of IP going to be buried within infrastructure across the stack, or is it going to be niche? What do you guys think?
Well, certainly from my point of view, I think it will become ubiquitous. I think NetApp showed that there were significant savings and opened up the marketplace for increased innovation, and solving the elapsed time issue means that you can effectively, for me, use it for a very broad range of both primary and archive and even backup. I don't know whether that's something your customers are looking at, but this is ripe for, it's software based, it's ripe for delivering improved improved capacity usage on the storage subsystems.
So do people agree with that? Is that sort of would people concur that that's what you're going to see? You're going to see intellectual property, essentially buried within the storage stack and become sort of a fundamental component of storage arrays? Do people buy that? Or do people disagree? Anybody disagree with that?
This is Chris. I'd say why not? In fact, the big question is, why doesn't NetApp do it in the first place? Why do they have to download it? That's my question. I mean, why don't you have it incorporated in there and just turn a switch and turn it on and turn it off? So I'm a little confused. I don't have any insight as to why they do it that way, but it's the way they've chosen to.
The key advantage of putting it in the storage array is that all of the other aspects of security, recovery, are all integrated into the one system. And that's always an issue when you have things separated. You have a separate bump in the wire or a separate product. you then have an issue of if something goes wrong in one, what's that impact on the other, how do you recover, etc. So making all of that recovery, security, safety integrated in one place is, to me, a much, much simpler end-user option. It just reduces the implementation effort and time enormously. It's just hidden. Most of it's just hidden. And I would see this happening not only for the deduplication, but also for compression. And the two technologies are additive. So that's an additional opportunity for vendors to provide additional capability.
Will storage vendors, OEMs, array vendors, take the attitude of, oh, this is scary, I'll sell less? Have you seen that, Jared, or anybody else out there? What do you think?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because integrating deduplication, we're not going and saying, integrate this technology and you'll sell more storage. What we're essentially saying is integrate this technology and you'll still be able to sell storage. So I would say maybe a year ago there was concern along those lines, but if you look at what pretty much all the analysts are agreeing, that this will become a requirement, and this will become a requirement very soon. Look at NetApp's market share, look at their most recent quarter, and how much of that is driven by storage growth, market share growth, because of their dominant position in primary dedupe.
I think there's another aspect there too, which is the elasticity of demand. As price falls in storage, people have always bought more, and we've seen that over the past 30 years. And I don't think there's any reason to think it's different here. Would people agree with that? That storage is still elastic. That you cut the price, people, it's like attic space. You never have enough.
That's historically exactly what it's been. Just a little caveat is that you are saving on space, but the amount of IOs has not changed. So to the degree to which storage is IO bound, that's not going to change that much. So there's two parts of the equation. I presume there's some saving capable because you've got some reduced bandwidth within the array, but for the most part, it's going to be driven by. It's going to be of most benefits for workloads which are not quite so heavily IO bound.
How do you charge for Appirio? Oh, go ahead. Sorry, respond to that. Sorry.
What I'll point out though is that depending on the implementation mode, if you have an inline implementation, then your write traffic can be reduced. And because of deduplication works very well with caching. So your read traffic can be reduced significantly as well. In fact, one of the big challenges with, say, a VMware virtual desktop deployment are
storms.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And because those boot storms are accessing the same blocks, you can actually improve the performance of your storage significantly with the cache that you already have by making use of deduplication. So it's use case specific, but in many cases it can improve your IO performance.
Right. So
how do you charge for the technology? It's got to be an interesting... Good thing you're smart, Jared. You're surrounded by a bunch of MIT guys in Cambridge, because you got kind of an interesting dynamic here, right? I mean, NetApp's giving it away, quote-unquote, and how do you charge for it?
Well, and we do want to enable our customers to be as competitive as possible and deliver solutions that don't price themselves out of the market. So I can't address this in a lot of detail right now. It's basically we talk with our partners and we do identify license models that meet their market requirements, that meet the way they plan on delivering to market. So we enable them to integrate our technology into their array, into their file system, in a way that could appear at no cost to the customer if that's what they want to deliver. We'll have more information on this as our partners publicly announce their products. It'll be very obvious how the pricing model works out.
Okay. And you said we should see that this year, right? Before the end of the year, we'll start to see Albireo and commercial products shipping. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, our main goal here is asked before, how hard is it to sell? And also with regards to how we price it, our goal here is with our partners to help them protect and potentially expand their margin, basically sell less storage, but have it be more storage, appear as more effective storage, and also to maintain and expand their market share. So we think that financially it makes a lot of sense to them. We will have products shipping by the end of the year, and certainly multiple products announced by the end of the year.
Well, as you pointed out, you saw NetApp's quarter, and they're doing very well, and I wouldn't say that it was all due to ASUS, but certainly a large proportion of their performance, NetApp's performance, is a function of their efficiency story and their, you know, their very tight integration with Waffle. You know, despite it, you know, the people who criticize it, it's clean, and the results speak for themselves. And so you would think that there are a number of OEMs that are looking at these types of models and saying, hey, there's got to be a better way to incorporate this IP into the storage stack. So very intriguing here. Other questions? Let me open it up again. We got a few minutes here for others. We've kept it pretty narrow into how it works. So anybody else wants to chime in? Go ahead.
Christian, did you do compression at all?
Good question. So because we're not in the data path, unlike with our Enterprise Archive product, which is a complete stack, we do not deliver compression. We just deliver deduplication and deduplication advice. However, we're completely compatible with compression. So our customers are able to take our technology and integrate that with compression as well to deliver even more savings to their end customers. Obviously, if they're using our content segmentation, it makes more sense to compress the blocks after they've been deduplicated. But a front-end compression device could potentially, as long as it segments data appropriately, interact effectively with our dedupe as well.
Thanks. This is Mike. Just one quick question. As I'm sort of thinking a little bit about this, dedupe and commoditization of dedupe, is one of the use cases relative to primary storage into storage server and database machines like Oracle Exadata?
So I talked a lot about the VMware use case, but databases are actually quite ripe for deduplication, not just within a given database, but if you look at a database environment, there are usually multiple copies, test copies, backup copies, development copies of those databases. So in a database environment, I've actually seen studies that claim there's 10x overhead in terms of duplicate copies of information. And because we're able to deliver deduplication across multiple file systems, across very large, you know, potentially hundreds of terabytes of array storage, we're able to identify all that that duplicate data. So that is definitely an area that our customers are interested in.
And what would, just a quick follow-up, what would be the preferred implementation? Would that be more of an inline or post-process implementation? What are your thoughts on that?
It really depends on the capabilities of the storage stack, of the underlying storage stack.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, other questions for Jared while we have them? And by the way, if anybody's writing this up, Jared is spelled J-E-R-E-D. I've seen a few tweets, and I've made a mistake myself, I have to admit, but G-E-R-E-D.
Maybe just one follow-up, Jared, Mike, again. What about encryption? Any implications relative to stored and encrypted data?
Encryption in most cases does eliminate a lot of the opportunity for deduplication because it essentially scrambles the data. But there's opportunities higher up the stack where Albireo can be integrated. So I said I'm talking mostly about storage arrays right now because that's where the biggest kind of market pressure is today. But when we integrate at an application layer or anywhere that's higher up the stack, like a file system that is a software file system as opposed to a hardware file storage device, then we can perform the deduplication before it hits a layer where the encryption occurs, which allows the data to be encrypted when it's written out to disk or when it's sent over the storage network or the Ethernet, the IP network, if we're integrated that layer. So we can't dedupe data once it's been encrypted, but we can certainly integrate at a level where before the encryption has occurred.
And maybe just one more follow-up in sort of thinking about cloud storage and cloud storage providers as a market target for Alberio, that's being different certainly than a storage provider.
Yeah, absolutely. But the same approach applies. That they're essentially storage providers that are using, for the most part, JBOD on the back end, or very low cost, very kind of dumb disk on the back end, and they're providing a file system or an object system technology as a service. So they're absolutely appropriate for integrating Alberio. In fact, they're probably, because of their grid and scale-out architectures, even more able to take advantage of the scalability benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So I had one more question. On what would you expect, and you can break this up into different use cases if you prefer, what would you expect as the sort of level of saving you would get with your deduplication for a, you know, let's say a mid-sized company which had a normal range of applications from email through to SAP through to some sort of CRM system, and through to lots of individual users with file and print, etc. What would, with this technology, what would you expect the reduction to be?
Well, it's as you said, it's very use case specific. So I can give you some of the use cases that we've analyzed in the past. I would expect in most cases, where in your average case to be on the range of 50 to 70% savings and 90% or more with a company that's using a lot of virtual infrastructure. Obviously, there are types of data that don't deduplicate as well as others. So if you have a large image store of unique images, then that's not going to deduplicate, but you're better off using specific compression technologies at the application layer there. But if you're talking about your average business that has databases, that has email, that has office documents, then 50% and up. So with our office document test set, we were seeing, as I said, 3-to-1 to 4-to-1 savings. So that's 70 to 80% savings, depending on if content segmentation was turned on, upwards of 90% savings with virtual system infrastructure. And with email, we had an email set that we saw about 4-to-1 savings, so again, about 75% savings. That, you know, I can construct better and worse use cases, but as just a point of comparison, you know, anything you're seeing with NetApp today will significantly exceed, because we have the ability to index a much larger array of data, and we have the ability to do variable segmentation. So take any numbers that you've seen from anyone else and expand from there.
And what would that multiplier be? Factor of 2 or factor of...
It depends. I mean, if you look at the if you look at the systems that are out there today, I don't want to harp on NetApp, but that even though they've expanded their file system size to 192 terabytes, they still limit, even on their highest-end system, deduplication to a total of 16 terabytes. So you could potentially be limited to, you know, around 10% savings if you're using large volumes, whereas we have no such restrictions. So on the same data set, we would see, you know, 10 times that, if not more. On a small data set, any solution is going to be able to index some amount of data, but once you get beyond, say, a terabyte or so, the challenges become very significant.
Okay.
There unfortunately aren't a lot of independent public deduplication data sets out there or deduplication studies. So the ones that are mostly out there are with regards to virtual infrastructure. And even last year, VMware published a study that they did on their internal desktop infrastructure, and we're seeing upwards of 30-to-1 savings. So those are completely realistic numbers.
Some interesting tweets here. I'm just following this. Oh, I got to share it with you guys. So Steve DuPlessis, Jared Floyd is the real deal, and you've got to love the Wolverine sideburns. The code is stellar, according to Brian Garrett. So that's great. Alberio, very interesting. Yeah, as we pointed out, positioned essentially to help OEMs compete against NetApp and their success, but also potentially much more. The business model looks right. Very nice concept, being able to apply through software the technology and embed it into arrays. Very flexible. Look for customers in the second half and be more clear at that point in time what the pricing looks like. But this is very good. I really appreciate, and we all do, Jared, you coming on today and taking your time and explaining Alberio and the concept that you conceived, and we wish you good luck with it. You know, please keep in touch with us and let us know the updates. Just as a well, let's see. So thank you, Jared, and also thank you to David Floyer, who co-hosted today, and other Wikibon members who contributed: Chris, Oscar, Peter Liu, and Mike Versace. Thanks for your questions. Excellent, as always. Our next Peer Insight, by the way, is scheduled for next Tuesday, June 15th. And the topic is cloud backup. We'll be joined by Susan Adams and Sharon Casper of the National Cowboy and Western Heritage and Heritage Museum. Should be very interesting. And then as the last reminder, over the next 24 hours or so, we'll have up on Wikibon 6 research notes pertaining to the call today. They'll have user actions, as they always do, so look for that. Feel free to hit the edit tab, improve the pieces, or put up your own piece, or even write a wiki tip. And we'll be producing a podcast of this call that we'll be sending out as well. So thanks for listening today, everybody, and thanks for being a Wikibon member. Bye for now.